This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, welcome back in. 7 o'clock hour. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show today. Make a note. Seth and I were doing this thing during the break that's the equivalent of taking a trip to, like, downtown Toledo or something like that. Hey, let's go to the stats page and see where the Astros stack up on all the batting numbers in Major League Baseball right now. They're, like, 29th or 30th in everything. The first thing I go to is OPS. And the only team that's worse than them, I guess, and, you know, this is a reminder that it's early in the season, is the Atlanta Braves, who are the number coming into the season were the number two team on the odds board to win the World Series this year behind the Dodgers. They're 0-7 on the season right now in Atlanta. At least the Astros have won a couple games, I guess. But yeah, an OPS as a team that has Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Walker, Isak Paredes, Yainer Diaz, all guys who are capable major league hitters. OPS of 492 right now for the Astros. That's like pitcher level back in the day.
It's, yeah, if you just want to have fun with the entire roster, I mean, they've got the Astros. The OPS is the second worst OPS.
Yep.
In baseball right now.
Yep.
Their batting average, though, Sean. Oh, they're only third worst.
Oh, wow.
In batting average.
Well,
yeah.
And the good news in the short term is the Twins are nearly as bad as the Astros.
Yeah.
And they've been playing the damn White Sox the last few days, who are the worst team in baseball. So
the whole thing is, you can say batting average doesn't matter all you want.
It does when you
When you
suck.
Get down below 200, it yes. still matters.
When you
right.
suck. Anything yeah, that you're really, really good or really, really bad, it matters. Yeah.
If you're below 200 in batting average, don't worry, old heads.
Yeah.
It's still really, really bad.
Yeah, man.
You'll find somebody on the internet to argue that, no, it's actually just fine. But for, by and large, it's still really bad.
Would you be more worried right now if they were 2-4? And it was because the pitching was really bad the first six games. You know, like if like last year, the pitching was awful to start the season. If it were, which would you rather have, the 2-4 they have, where the bats haven't woken up, or a 2-4 where you're one turn through the rotation and the ERA is like 5.23 or something?
Look, other than Framber's two bad innings yesterday at the beginning of the game, they've been really good with their starting pitching.
Yes.
I'm okay. Like, Framber's going to have a couple games like that. It's no big deal. Anybody is. So I'm still not worried about that. I would be more worried if the pitching was bad right now, because it would be against everything that you would hope and expect from this team as constructed.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the two guys at the top. Arrighetti, we still don't know 100% until we make it through this season. But so far, so good with the pitching. The thing with the batting that scares you is that, all right, yes, okay, Yordan hasn't been himself. That'll come around. But by and large, it's also a lot of guys that you already didn't feel great about.
Right.
And that they're, oh, Chaz McCormick struck out three times yesterday.
You don't say. Yeah.
What a shock.
Mm-hmm.
What a shock.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You got a couple rookies out there. And right, we've got a rotation of unproven, unknown, and or demonstrably bad out there in right field.
Yeah. Yiner's been awful this year so far, too. Yiner and Christian Walker, at first this year, was making hard contact, but just getting out. Now he's just not having competitive at-bats. It's just sucked to watch. It's a week. I get it. All those things. You know, it's funny you mentioned Eric Geddy. I'm on ESPN right now. I'm on the main baseball page for ESPN, and they have the article for the latest power rankings, which I don't want to click on because I don't feel like looking at it right now. But the three players they have in the graphic for the article are Fernando Tatis Jr., Mookie Betts, and Spencer Arrighetti. you put the stars on there to get people to click on the article, and it's Fernando Tatis Jr., Mookie Betts, and Spencer Arrighetti. That's pretty cool. Spencer, you know, I'll take the little victories. He's on a graphic with Betts and Fernando Tatis Jr. Torpedo bats are on the way. I put it out there yesterday. I said over under of a week that the Astros will put in an order for torpedo bats. They did it later on that day.
The thing that annoys me most about all of this is that if this is indeed an advantage, and you're going to need a whole year of stats to really see just, you know, what the advantages and disadvantages of using this bat are. If it is a big advantage, the teams that were on this in the offseason are going to have a huge advantage because the players have already familiarized with themselves and are swinging these bats. The old Astros would have been on top of this. The old Astros would have been the headliner in a think piece in The Athletic about whether the Astros were ruining baseball or not by abiding by the rules. But because it's perfectly legal. It's something that's been around since 2022. Various people have experimented with it, and yet the Astros seem like they're just now learning about it.
Yeah.
And hey, we'll give it a go. Like, they would have already had their NASA scientists spitting out report after report after report and having conversations with players and collecting data on all this
stuff. There's no way. There is no way that Jeff Luhnow at some point or another didn't have a conversation. Like, there's no way that Luhnow didn't have a conversation at some point during his GM tenure about the bat, about the baseball bat. Like, hey, I wonder
the bat
if
itself the and bat like how itself. They might be able to
yeah,
tweak it or
yeah.
something.
Like, yeah. Obviously, they didn't move forward and invent a torpedo bat. And if they did, it never saw the light of day. The guy, the MIT guy who was with the Yankees and is now with the Marlins, is getting the credit for it. But Jeff Luhnow just strikes me as a guy that looks at baseball, and it's not just the lines on the field and the base paths. It's every single facet of the ballpark, the ball, the bat. Oh. There's no way. The bat was discussed at some point by Luhnow, I have to believe.
And I wonder, too. Who knows? Maybe not. Sometimes the things that are most obvious are the things that you're most blind to. When the stat people talk about stuff and gaining an advantage, they'll talk about getting an extra half win over the course of three seasons.
Yes.
It's really, but that if you add all of those up, those start to be, they make differences over the course of a season.
Yes, they do.
You know, a half win here, a half win there. There's a lot with the bat that I've always thought was just even in selecting the trees themselves and the various like the hardness of various strains of maple trees and everything. I've started work on a GMO version of a maple tree that, frankly, Sean, when it matures 30 to 40 years from now, it is going to take the league by storm.
You're going to be a bat revolutionary bat guy. Yeah.
My stand of maple trees will be the most heavily guarded. I'm going to guard this thing like drug lords guard their drug fields.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have guys in masks riding four wheelers all around the perimeter with machine guns strapped
Nobody's
to their back.
Touching this tree. This is Seth's tree.
Yeah, we're gonna dominate with my special maple trees.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. When they asked Espada about the torpedo bats, he said he'd never heard of them. Our manager should know every possible thing that could possibly give you an advantage in any way possible. Say possible again, please. He should be dismissed. Shows he is not up to snuff for the job. Doesn't put the effort in. He's an empty uniform. Wow. That is a hot take right there.
All right. Now, no, I disagree. And this is why. This is where it would be on the analytics side of people or some people within the organization to have a system to where this stuff is funneled to people. If you go out seeking out every little potential thing or tweak or difference in the offseason, you would not get any of your actual work done.
Yeah.
I promise you, pro sports teams are presented with, this is an exaggeration, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was like 10 a day from various people with new technological advantages that they can help. There's always something bubbling around out there. It's separating the signal from the noise that gets really difficult. I do think that the Astros, the way they used to be run, where maybe they were too analytical, maybe they did veer too much on the statistical side of things, but there was also a maniacal obsession with having an organization full of people seeking that stuff out.
Yeah.
And then that filters into a spot of it. No, this was it's very hit or miss across baseball when you talk to various managers about whether they knew about this or whether they didn't. It's been kind of a almost like a grassroots kind of adoption of it by a few different teams.
Yep. Text message, have we said, quote, it's a long season yet? I think I've said it twice today already. Yeah, so yes, we have on this show. All right.
Yeah, no. But don't become one of those cold and frozen souls that decides to take everything with equanimity and that you'll never be affected by it. Because you know what? You're not allowed to celebrate the World Series, okay? If
That's
you haven't
right.
hyper-reacted to some losses, then you don't deserve the highs, okay?
That's exactly right.
All right?
Man. Yes. Exactly right. You can't have it both ways. If the lack of Cinderellas is killing the NCAA tournament, you're not allowed to watch the 4-1 yeah. seeds this weekend. Those
you're
are the
not going to You're not going to partake in my bag of cocaine.
That's it.
If you didn't do all the crap I had to do to earn the money to buy it.
Those yeah. are the rules, and they are unflinchingly rigid. Thank you. Anonymous executives weighing in on the Texans' offseason so far. This will be a fun little segment before we talk to the GM who's made all these decisions. At 7:30 today, Nick Caserio joins us. Execanon comments up next. Stay there.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Nick Caserio joins us in about 12 minutes or so at 7:30. So quick segment here and then the long segment. If you're in your car right now going, why are there commercials at 7:18? This is the long segment. When Nick comes on, we go 7:30 and we sweep through the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. So Nick Caserio will join us shortly. Now, anonymous executives commenting on the offseason for teams in the AFC. And so this is presumably, I guess, peers of Nick Caserio commenting about the offseason that the Texans have had.
Yeah.
This is courtesy of The Athletic. Mike Sando does this every year.
And Sando's another one where you don't doubt that these are genuine executive quotes.
Correct.
He's got
very reliable.
Solid reputation for this stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. One executive says this: by changing the offensive coordinator out, it almost appears like they're changing the styles of players that they deal with and wanting a little bit more tough, a little bit more finish. And maybe a little less athlete.
Okay, that last part was the one that got me because I don't think that they're up there in a room saying, "Okay, this is what we're looking for is a less athletic
suckier
football player.
Athletes." Yeah,
I don't know, man. This guy ran a 4.3 40. Is he really the right guy for us?
Yeah, we're more of a 4.8 team.
Yeah. Now it might change a little bit though too, like how you weight things and how you perceive upside. And at the very least, I think an element of physicality to somebody's game might be much more highly coveted depending on how Kaylee operates and everything. So, like, the ideal would be a healthy George Kittle. So, okay, we got a guy that, he's gritty as hell. He loves being physical, but he is also a freakishly good athlete.
Yeah.
As opposed to taking an, like, this is a bad comparison because they're both great players, but I think if you took, let's say, George Kittle had been as healthy as Travis Kelce in his mm-hmm. career, I think they might prefer a George Kittle to a Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
because one guy's just way more physical than the other.
Makes
one guy's
sense.
Like one guy loves to run block, one guy gives a damn about blocking.
Yes.
The other guy is just kind of
That comment feels like it was specifically about the offensive line. I know it's styles of players that they deal with. I feel like that executive, if you could go back and ask a follow-up to him, would say, when you say players, do you mean a specific position? And he always said, yeah, the offensive line. That's what it feels like to me.
I don't think they've stopped wanting to get athletes on defense or anything.
Or at the skill positions.
Yeah. Offensive line is the position where you can most say, all right, look, the guy's not a great athlete, but he really makes up for it with these other things.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point. That guy, it feels like he was saying, he was talking about the offensive line without saying
that. That's what I think. Another executive says, on the outside, you're like, whoa, what's going on?
He's saying on the outside, the offensive line, on the outside of the offensive line.
Oh, okay. I thought he meant like outside the building.
No, you're right. There's another quote later.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Let me read the quote. On the outside, you're like, whoa, what's going on? On the inside, they may have evaluated and said, this guy fits the different way we want to look and feel, that Trent Brown can do what Laremy Tunsil did.
Yeah, okay, this one annoyed me because I feel like this guy comes from a team that definitely was not looking at offensive linemen in free agency and might not even realize that Trent Brown is coming off of a torn patellar tendon.
Right.
Like, he didn't say Cam Robinson, he said Trent Brown.
He hasn't necessarily been good in a long time,
I don't think that the Texans, I'd be very surprised if the Texans expect Trent Brown to be available in week one.
Yeah.
They got him on a very affordable one-year, $3 million deal. And he's a guy who's 6'8", 360 pounds, coming off a torn patellar tendon with a vast history of injuries. So I think they want to see what Nick always says, get him in the building.
Yeah.
Cam Robinson is probably that's more appropriate, because Cam Robinson in a lot of ways is a Laremy Tunsil type player, and that he's a better pass protector than he is a run blocker, but he's also on a very, very affordable contract.
Yep.
And I think is kind of a bridge offensive tackle. Most likely. I think most likely he ends up being here 1 year and then maybe gets a better deal elsewhere if the Texans find a good solid guy they feel good about at left tackle.
Yeah, moving forward. Another executive says this, and obviously the Tunsil trade is a big topic with the Texans. We'll talk about that with Nick Caserio shortly at 7:30 today. Tunsil is interesting. He plays on Sundays. He's going to want a brand new deal, and you really can't touch him during the week as he will not practice as much. End quote.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, and that's where I think it's more about that than the type of athlete or anything else from that previous quote. Mm-hmm. It's that there's so many guys that are pulling in the right direction in terms of a swarm mentality, and Tunsil was just not that guy and was never going to be that guy. And I still cannot get over this, the fact that C.J. Stroud, your young quarterback, in a podcast called Laremy Tunsil a vet. And his definition of a vet is a guy that's not doing nothing extra at practice. Like, that's the exact worst. That is everything that goes against what D'Amico Ryans wants in his football players. So 100%. That is a smart executive
I think that executive is stating facts. Last one on the offensive line. One exec says, I'd go for toughness and grit at the guard positions and keep my franchise left tackle. So that guy's saying they shouldn't have traded Tunsil. You just need to whack the rest of the offensive line.
Well, and that's where the whole pro sports dynamic comes into it. Because when I talked to offensive linemen about Tunsil, I remember talking to Ross Tucker about this. And Ross Tucker was an offensive lineman who was totally blue-collar, journeyman, had to scrap his ass off. Like, some of the plays that would really annoy me with Laremy Tunsil, like when he would just stop playing football on the goal line, for instance.
There.
Ross and a couple other offensive linemen would always just kind of be like, well, I mean, the tackles, that's what you get sometimes. The guys that are really good pass protectors, that's what you get. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't have to watch it every week, damn it.
Yeah, it's true.
But if you want to be a true believer, if you're trying to create a cult-like atmosphere, you really can't have any exceptions.
Nope.
You got to ostracize.
Nope. Yeah, you do.
You got to cast out.
That's
you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Last one, anonymous executives. This is on the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson trade. They're built to stop the pass. Oh, this executive likes the trade, by the way. They're built to stop the pass. Let those rushers eat up front and have playmakers on the back end. I respect that they have a very clearly defined team-building philosophy, especially on defense with a defensive head coach.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've been saying all along, that people can notice with their eyeballs, is that on the defensive side of the ball, that culture is right. They got the right culture there. They just got to get the right culture on the offense right now. The defense is built that way. The big chunk plays defensively are really that's the big thing they have to clean up.
Yeah.
Is the poor tackling, which goes part and parcel with a lot of those big chunk plays. Some of that's youth in the secondary.
Yes.
Just making fewer mental errors. But the culture is right. They just got to clean a few things
that's
up.
That's the best part about the defense, is it doesn't feel like they need new guys. You got the guys.
Yeah.
You just got to, they need to eliminate some of the mistakes. All right. Nick Caserio is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk to him about the offseason. We'll talk about the upcoming draft. How are some of the guys doing that we're intrigued by? Current Texans, how's the offseason going for some of the more pivotal dudes on this team? Fresh off of West Palm Beach, we'll talk to Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, coming up next.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Are you ready?
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, welcome back. Payne and Pendergast and Casario for the upcoming segment here. Good to be with you on a Thursday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, and if you know that music's playing, it is can mean only one thing on this show: the walkout music for Texans executive vice president and general manager Nick Casario. Nick, welcome in. Great to talk to you as always. And now that I'm hearing that music, I think this is the first time we talked to you since you've become best friends with Triple H.
Is that right? Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having us. Yeah, no, exactly. I had an opportunity to introduce myself at the Sloan conference. He was on a panel with the Netflix chief content officer. Actually, a great discussion about how they've transitioned from to live programming on Netflix. And then after, I said, look, I got to at least go up to him and say hello and introduce myself. Told him that I have walkout music when I go on a show with Payne and Pendergast in the morning. And he said, wow, that's a good choice. So we got a little kick out of that. So okay. That was a lot of fun. So it was great to meet. He thinks I'm a lunatic, but I mean, that's okay.
That's good. You didn't, no, I'm totally jealous, of course, obviously.
Yeah, there's no room for lunatics in his business. He's probably really, really put out by it.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised he didn't book you for a match at WrestleMania.
He actually did invite me to the next WWE event in Houston. So whether or not I actually take him up on that offer, we'll see. Okay. But he did extend the invitation, so maybe you two of you can go in my place, and you'll probably have a lot more fun than I would have.
What do you do if they approach one of your players? Like, it seems like Will Anderson would probably be a good candidate to be a part of the show. Like, what's the process there? Do you hammer out a contract with the player and WWE is like what he's allowed to do and not do?
The contract is don't do anything dumb. Yeah. So if you want to make an appearance ringside, that's probably about the extent of the contractual discussion. So
you just like push somebody or something, yeah, but no getting pushed.
Yeah. Because George Kittle's been a part of it. There's a few guys that have been a part.
There's been a few. Yeah, exactly. Let's stay away from Hell in a Cell. Don't be jumping off like Mick Foley. Can't do anything like that. So
I'm curious, Nick, and we'll get into the offseason and whatnot here in just a second. I am curious. You go into the Sloan Analytics Conference obviously seems like something that's right up your alley from a football standpoint.
It's like a concert. They got groupies.
Yeah, probably.
Like that groupie in Real Genius.
Perfectly there.
the MIT nerds. Yeah. What do you walk away from something like that with that helps you from a football standpoint as a GM?
No, it's interesting, and I think I have a really good relationship with Jess Gelman, who the CEO of Kraft Sports Group. And her and Daryl Morey actually started the conference a number of years ago. Obviously, the Houston fans are familiar with Daryl and his time here in Houston. So more than anything, it's really a think tank, and they bring in different people from different lines of work, business, sport, entertainment, and it's just some idea generation. It's designed for the MIT students and then some other students as well. It's an opportunity for them to kind of listen and learn to some different folks in some different industries. Because of my relationship with Jess, I'm always open to just having those dialogues and discussion. The panel I was on this year, I was actually on a panel with Daryl and David Stearns, the GM of the Mets, who's done a really good job, not only his time with the Mets here in a short period of time, but Milwaukee as well. And it's very organic. You usually have a panel, there might be a topic. And it's just you're listening for some ideas, some interesting thoughts. I thought the panel, in all seriousness, with Triple H and Bella was really interesting. How they've grown their product, it's interesting the number of women fans that are engaged and interested in wrestling. And not to go like WWE here, but they talked about the Cena heel turn and how the response instantly on the social media, on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, it led to X number of followers, so it just got more eyeballs to sport. And in the end, it's all about entertainment, but just talked about how they've grown, how they've kind of transitioned going from USA to Netflix and live element. So listen to that. I listened to another panel. Had two folks that were involved in private equity that are investors in businesses, in soccer. And more than anything, you're just looking for thoughts. It's no different than the league meetings here. The first night they had Caitlin Clark, Eli, and Serena just talk about, I would say, their experience, some of the things that they're doing, their involvement in sport, their investors in a multitude of different sports. Even you could look at JJ, what he's done investing in soccer overseas. So more than anything, when you get an opportunity to just listen and be a part of groups and panels like this, maybe there's something that you take and that you can apply. There's a lot smarter people there than I am, so I just go to try to listen and learn. And out of my respect and my relationship with Jess, that's really one of the reasons that I do it.
Mm. You know, it's actually, Nick, something related that we were talking about earlier is about these torpedo bats, which I'm guessing you've heard of the torpedo bats.
Briefly, I'm not as educated as you all are on it, but
it
sounds like it's a hot topic.
I've got a lathe in my shop that I'm working on my own version on. So, what we were talking about was just how hard it is that there's so many things going on the analytical side of things or on the technology side of things in sports now that one of the hardest challenges is actually just figuring out which ones you're going to use. And because I was sticking up for a spot of not knowing about the torpedo bats, because it's like you get presented with a dozen things a day that's going to revolutionize the sport. And it comes down to the organization, in my opinion, to really have a system for analyzing these things. So when you're looking at the analytical side of things, and you guys have an analytics department like most teams, how do you go about that part of it? Like figuring out, all right, we've got limited time and only so many resources, and we got to be ready. We got to have an offense ready here in a couple of months. Like, how do you pick what you're going to lean into?
No, it's a great question, and I think the point that you make, Seth, the reality is things are moving fast. Things are constantly changing. Things are constantly evolving. And more than anything, you just want to make sure you have some awareness of what's going on. And then you're looking, is there something out there that there's a useful application that we can actually incorporate into some of the things that we're doing? And the reality is you can't use everything. It's a law of diminishing returns if you try to do too much. But if there's a specific, I would say, piece of technology or some information that you might be able to apply in along with your process that you have in place, then you investigate it and you see if there's a fit. There's utility, great. If there's not, then you move on to something else. But to your point, the rate of change that takes place, it happens at such a high rate of speed. So you have to be aware, you have to be cognizant, which I would say a conference like the one that I attended, it gives you kind of some insight as to some of the things that are going on. But I would say philosophically, it usually goes back to basic blocking and tackling and first principles. And then you're looking for things on the periphery that you might be able to bring into your organization that you might be able to apply. So whether that's in coaching, whether it's in scouting, whether it's in sports performance, whether it's in the medical area, I would say we've talked at different points about the medical arena. Like, that's an area that's constantly changing and evolving. So from ACL, reconstruction, the surgery, the rehab associated with it, there's just a myriad of things that are out there. So I think you have to be smart and disciplined with how you approach it and just realize you can't be a part of everything. But organizationally, you're always looking for some things on the margins that maybe we can incorporate. And the reality is, professional sports is as competitive as anything, so you're looking for things that potentially could provide you some competitive advantage that you might be able to incorporate and apply to your system that's currently in place.
I'm glad you mentioned the medical part of it, because Trent Brown, obviously an interesting signing, but he's coming off a patellar tendon tear, and there's not a whole lot of data on guys coming back from patellar tendon tears. It's just not that common an injury. So what do you... like, has that changed at all? Are patellar tendons not as dramatic as they used to be, or is it still a huge wild card?
Injuries are always a wild card. I think you can never really predict. It's all about the athlete response rate. And so what we try to do, whether they're healthy, not healthy, is when they come in the building, it's just going to kind of get a baseline understanding of where they are. So from their weight, from their imbalance, is there an asymmetry right leg to left leg? Is there a specific area that we can focus their training on? And I'd say you can build the training. I think where you've seen the biggest growth and evolution is in the customization of training relative to the individual athlete. It used to be, and we were all a part of this, you walk in a weight room, you get handed a card, and everybody kind of does the same program. Well, I would say over time that's kind of changed, because every athlete has different needs. Their body responds differently. What they're asked to do on the field is different, so you want to be able to train accordingly. Are there certain things that you're going to do with everybody? Yes. Are there other things that you're going to do that are specific to the athlete? And that's what I would say specific to the Texans. Our return to football, return to play group, we can focus specifically on the individual rehab for that specific player, and then once they graduate from that, then they hand them off or they get handed off, and then we incorporate back into football, we just want to make sure that they're fully mentally and physically prepared for the rigors of what they're going to endure. So I would say it still goes back to case by case. Some injuries are harder to come back by than others, but it's all about how does the athlete respond to the injury. And that goes back to the training. It goes back to the program that you could develop. And you can, the technology that's available enables you to measure this, so we can have the information and just try to make a good decision about each player and their overall health and performance.
Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Texans GM Nick Caserio joining us. Hey, Nick, just to start digging into the offseason here, and we'll start with the offensive line. Seth mentioned Trent Brown there. Obviously, a lot of new faces on the offensive line. You made the trade involving Laremy Tunsil, changes with coaching on the offensive line. What specifically are you trying to find that was missing from last year's offensive line room?
Right to the offense. I thought we were going to transition to the Rockets and talk about their playoff berth, but no, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
No, there's never anything specific. I think what you try to do is after each season, you kind of take a step back, make an evaluation. All right, what happened? Is there anything that we feel that we need to do moving forward? And there's going to be change. We've talked about this on this show. Your team's going to turn over X number percent each year. So every situation, you know, we kind of evaluate case by case. I don't think we went to the off season and said, well, we're going to do A, B, C, and D. That's never really how it works. What you have to do is just kind of take inventory of where you are and try to take advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves. So in the Laramie situation, that was something that, you know, we weren't certainly intent on doing or that we were motivated to do. I think when we just looked at the situation, we felt that it was the opportunity in front of us that made sense. Washington had a need, and then we consummated the trade. And, you know, ultimately we felt like that was the best decision for the Texans at that particular time. So I think you always know going to the offseason, you're going to add players. There are going to be some players that go on and off the team. There are going to be some players that go on and off the roster. We made, I would say, changes offensively from Coach Cayley to Coach Popovich. So from the coordinator to the offensive line. So that's kind of step one. There's going to be personnel changes that take place. You've seen a number of changes that have taken place across the entire team, not just the offensive line. So I think the big thing that we've talked about and D'Amico and I are focused on is just trying to carry as much competition on a team as possible. And in the end, it's going to come down to how well we execute on Sunday. So we're a long way from that. It's April 3rd. Where we end up beginning of September, whenever the first game is, nobody really knows. But, you know, we felt the way we're positioned right now, we have a number of players on the offensive line with varying levels of experience that have played a lot of football, including some of the players that are returning on our team. Obviously, the players that we brought on externally have played a lot of football. How it all transpires and how it all sorts itself out, TBD. So, but, you know, we feel like we're in a decent spot right now. And I think the big thing is just being able to get out there and get the five best guys on the field, you know, bring eight to the game, but get the five best guys that are out there. And hopefully we can go out there and just play good football and execute on a consistent basis. So there were times as a team, I would say, not just specific to the offensive line as a team, did a number of really good things last year. There were other areas that, you know, we probably could have done a little bit better. So that's where, you know, it's a year-to-year league and your team's going to change and we're no different than any other team.
You know, and D'Amico, when he's talked about the offensive line or the offense in general a couple times this offseason, he's mentioned the importance of having one voice in the offensive line room. And he's also mentioned how with Cayley and with Cole Popovich having a relationship before that they're kind of on the same page already with a lot of things. Was there an element, and I'm honestly not trying to throw any one guy under the bus here or anything, but with the offense in its entirety over the last couple years, Were there some instances where maybe you just had an offensive line coach and an offensive coordinator and perhaps a player or whomever else where they weren't seeing things through the same filter or they just didn't have the same common background that it wasn't as seamless as you would hope it would be?
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for D'Amico, but I mean, you know, there's always a lot of communication that takes place. It's never one particular thing. So in the end, going back to when we made the decision, when D'Amico made the decision that he did to move on from Bobby, certainly was an easy decision. So, you know, what we're trying to do is put together what we think is the best situation or the best formula. And honestly, Seth, nobody really knows how it's going to go. Like, I can't sit here and tell you exactly how it's going to go. So I'd say the fact that Nick and Cole have some level of experience together, I mean, it always helps when any time that you have an opportunity to work with one another. And again, it's under different systems. So there's going to be an element of we're going to have to work through some things in the off season. And that's what March and April are designed for. Coaching staff get together. How are we going to call things? How do you see things? We're going to use this terminology. Okay, when this situation comes up, we're going to handle it this way. And there's going to be some back and forth. So again, like we've won 20 games over the last 2 years. So like a lot of things that we were doing, you know, couldn't have been all that bad. So, but you know, we're just trying to figure out like, all right, what's the best thing for the Texans? What do we think we got to do moving forward? Which is where we are right now. What is that going to mean? Honestly, I don't have the answers. None of us have the answers. Anybody that says they have the answers is probably lying to you. So I think we'll work through it here. We'll try to have a good off season, you know, try to get the players, let's say, in good condition. And then once we get to training camp, obviously we're going to have more information. We're going to have a better idea of where we are. And the whole goal is to just make sure that we're as prepared as we possibly can be for whoever the opponent is week one.
Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. So, Nick, you get the deal done with Derek Stingley Jr. You get the deal done with Danielle Hunter to add another year to his deal. Obviously, Nico last year. Am I being presumptuous to say that you pretty much laid out the blueprint for getting an extension from the Houston Texans if you're a good football player? And if so, what is that blueprint?
Good player, good attitude. Go out there, be productive, work hard, put the team first, and you know, you'll be rewarded. And again, it's not just those three specific players, sure. but I think when you look at the overall composition of the team and the mindset, and D'Amico has talked about this, what are the things that we're looking for? What do we prioritize? Like, those three players are pretty good examples of what a Houston Texan football player should look like, or what we want it to look like. Understanding every player is different. Everyone has strengths. Everyone has areas that they can improve. But those three players in particular are three of our better players. We feel like we're pretty fortunate that we have a lot of good football players on this team, in this building. And again, going back to what I said a little bit earlier, everything is kind of case by case. So we'll look at it. We'll have discussions. D'Amico and I talk about the team, I don't want to say every day, not every day, but it's every day. And we're just trying to make sure that we're very thoughtful, and we very do things with the right intentions. And, you know, those players, they earn mm-hmm. what they receive. We don't give out anything. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't like, okay, come in here and we're just going to give you. You get what you earn, and the contracts are the contracts, and every situation is going to be a little bit different. But those players have earned what they received because of, A, their play, how they play, B, the type of people that they are, C, their work ethic, their overall mindset. I mean, Stingley was in here the day that we agreed. He was in a weight room, and we're in the offseason. We're not even in the offseason program yet, but I think when you speak to the mindset and the type of people that we want to have on this football team, we've had almost 30 players in the building since the end of the season that are training four or five times a week, and the offseason program hasn't even started, and including Stingley is one of those players. So Stingley was in there, Bullock was in there, Kamari Lassiter was in there. We've had a number. Petrie's been here basically since the end of the season. So that speaks to, if you show up, if you work hard, we have all the resources that you need here in the building. Like, you don't have to go anywhere else. Now, obviously, some people are more advanced in some of their training. I would say, you know, I think there's some videos of Daniil working out. Like, Daniil's working. Like, you don't look like he does without putting in the work. So, you know, that's the type of a program that we're trying to create, and it starts at the top. And, you know, we try to be very consistent and very committed. And honestly, it takes a certain amount of discipline, because we're not afraid to say, okay, here's, you know, we'll talk about the draft here in a minute, but mm-hmm. there's players in a draft where we're going to move on from, or we're not going to consider them to be a part of our program. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It just means, you know what, they might be a better fit somewhere else, and that's okay, and that's just part of our process. Does it mean we're going to be right all the time? Absolutely not. But we're just trying to be as consistent as possible on the way, and committed and disciplined to our approach, because we feel that's the right approach for our team. And it's something that D'Amico and I believe strongly in. So as a result, we're going to make sure we try to find those players that fit and understand the mindset that we want them to play with and you know, perform on a day-to-day basis.
Nick, I have a follow-up on Jalen Petrie in a second, but I'm curious, just for some perspective. You said there's 30 players in the building right now working out, and the off-season program hasn't even started yet. From your experience, what's a normal number that's in the building like that? For some perspective on that number.
Not that many.
Yeah.
And again, this is actually kind of an off week, and this week is, you know, league meetings, and, you know, coaches are off here this week, and this is kind of an off week. But I would say, just anecdotally, players who we sign in the off season have made comments that on other teams that they've been affiliated with, that they've never really seen anything like this. Just unsolicited offering that up, which is good to hear. So it speaks to the players. It speaks to our sports performance staff. It speaks to the people that are working with the players on a day-to-day basis. I would say not that many. You'll probably get, I would say, anywhere from maybe 10 to 12 to 15 in kind of this dead period. So from basically, call it February and March, or whenever your season ends, everybody's kind of on their own. Typically, the off season starts in April. Our off season program officially starts April 21, and the first 2 weeks are just with the strength and conditioning staff. The coaches really aren't involved in that. So, again, can't speak to necessarily what goes on in other buildings. I would say, even going back to our time in New England, we had a decent amount of players around, but not the volume that mm-hmm. we have here. I'd say it's a confluence of events. A lot of people live in Houston or kind of around here. B, they want to be in the building because we have the resources available to them. And see, like, they understand, like, in order to improve, and I've talked about this, if you want to get better at football, you have to work and work at football. So right now, the off season, what can you do to improve?
It's your strength conditioning. It's your power. It's your overall development. Rookies, as an example, Bullock and Lassiter have been here. They didn't have an off-season program. So this is really their first opportunity to train with our staff on a kind of off-season type of cadence. So the players are here. It speaks to who they are. It speaks to their willingness and want to get better. And we encourage them to be there because we have everything that they need at their fingertips. So other players, if they want to go elsewhere, that's okay. It doesn't mean they're not working, like I said. But to have that number of players in the building, you know, it's a credit to them and just and really our strength and conditioning and our sports performance staff that they want to be here.
You could publish the list of guys in the building. That would be great. That would really help us with our hot takes.
We'll put that on our social media.
These are the guys that want it. These are the swarmiest guys. They're in the building.
The opposite of that was Sam Montgomery at LSU.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Hey, Nick, just to follow up about Jalen, you talked about the contract extensions. Obviously, Jalen is eligible for one. He's 3 years in now, and I know how much you guys how much you value Jalen Petrie. Is he on the radar right now, possibly to be extended this offseason?
Yeah, I'd say we're having conversations with a number of players, and you know we've talked about this. You guys kind of know how we operate. Mm-hmm. Like we're pretty flexible and open minded. Like we don't have a finite. Well, if you know we don't get it done by September 1st and it's off the table, I think at some point for everybody's best interest, you might say, hey, look, let's try to figure this out. You know, over the next few weeks and or whenever. We've done things in the off season. We've done things kind of over the summer or in training camp. We've done a few during the season. So we'll maintain some flexibility. Always open to having discussions and dialogue, whether or not an agreement, you know, comes to fruition. It's very situationally based and case by case. So, but I would say there's a number of players that you'd like to keep as many good players and good people around this building for as long as possible. And if we get to that point, great. If we don't, it doesn't necessarily mean it won't work out. It just might means it might happen just at a later point. Mm-hmm. So, don't really want to comment specifically on any individual discussions with any players, but I would say always open-minded to having a dialogue with the player and their representatives and trying to figure out an agreement that everybody feels comfortable with, because the goal is for both entities and both parties to be happy with how it went. You don't want to have, you know, we're not trying to quote-unquote win a negotiation. Yeah. We don't believe in that. That's not how we operate. You want something where the organization wins and the player feels valued and they feel like, you know, you've made them a priority. So, you know, we'll work through those things. But Jalen's been a good player. It's the day he walked in the building. He's had a significant impact on our program. You know, that's the type of player that you'd like to have around here as long as possible. So we'll kind of see how all that works itself out.
You know, you had mentioned that Derek Stingley was in working out the day that he got that extension, and it's always I remember Tom Coughlin being over the moon when a guy who was a late round draft pick after a few years they redid his deal, and he was in there working out early in the morning before the OTAs or before the offseason program started, and the head athletic trainer told me that Coughlin was just so excited to hear that guy was in the room that morning that he had signed his contract. But I guess the one thing that's changed since 15-20 years ago is that now even the late round draft picks, if they've played 3 or 4 years in the league, they've made some pretty damn good money. Do you have to worry less now, maybe, because you've got a good track record of, okay, Derek Stingley, he's already made $20 million in his career. If the money was going to ruin him, it would have ruined him long ago, or if that was the only thing motivating him. So is there a little bit more comfort level in giving contracts now because guys through that or through NIL have already established, like, okay, that they can keep their head about them when they've got a big wad of cash in their pocket?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, what's going on in college football is sort of changed over the last 2 to 3 years. So some players are more equipped to handle the money than others. But it works both ways, Seth. Even if you're getting paid in college, then you might think, well, everything that took place in college is going to happen here in the NFL. I would just say, players are motivated. Obviously, they want to be compensated for what they do, but they also want to win. And if we've done a good enough job on the front end of bringing the right type of people with the right mentality and mindset into this building, then you're going to feel comfortable giving that player what he's earned, going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. So in the end, you still have to go out there and perform, and you have a certain comfort level because in a lot of cases, you know, you're probably financially secure for a long period of time, which all of us, whatever we do, when we invest a significant amount of time and energy, you want to be compensated accordingly. And you want to put yourself in a position, you know, where you have a certain level of security. And there's nothing wrong with that. But by the same token, in the end, we still have to go out there. We still have a job to do. We still have to play good football. And we want to win, because that's ultimately, you know, when the team wins, kind of everybody wins. So, again, not sure if that exactly answers your question, but I would say we're not necessarily worried about, you know, when we reward a player with something that he's earned, that he's necessarily going to change. I would say let's go back and talk about Nico Collins. So I'd say Nico probably had his best offseason last year, and, you know, he was coming on the heels of a contract extension. So I think it's really confirmation that, you know what, okay, we think we made the right decision and rewarded a player because he earned the opportunity with his performance, and it's not necessarily going to change his thought process or mindset. So, yeah, if you find the right players, you find the right people with the right mentality and the right mindset, get them in the building, then, and keep them in the building and build your team accordingly, then that's ultimately where we want to be.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.